Welcome again to our Human Settlement Standing Committee meeting. And Shumis, thanks again. I'm happy to see you that you are okay now. So I'm going, sorry, I forgot to switch off my, My name is Mahlodi Maseko and I'm a Standing Committee Chair. Just for the record, I'm going to ask the members to introduce themselves and after the department. Over to you.
Hi, good morning. I'm Derek America. Thank you.
I'm Brace Heron.
To you.
Chairperson, members, good morning. It's Nathan Adrianza, Director Responsible for Communications.
Chairperson, good morning. Good morning, members. Roy Stewart, Acting Director, Land and Asset Management.
Chair and the members, good morning. My name is Thembele Chutula. I'm the Acting Deputy Director at the Rendalen Housing Tribunal.
Okay. And Chuma?
Good morning, honourable members and delegates. I'm Kumafani from PMG.
Thank you very much. Members, we postponed this from last week so that we can be able to go through the files. And I think we had ample time to go through it. So I do have, before we continue with the meeting, I do have the apologies from Minister Simas and the HOD and the Mr. Mguli and the CFO, Mr. Divers, and they're not going to join us. And I think the following meeting also, they're not going to join us because they've got their commitments already for those days. Now, I wanted to make sure that we understand each other. We've got the files that we had to go through, and I'm not going to say the department must take us through the whole file because I take it that we already read everything that is there. And the part that we have to come in is on the Act of the Rental Housing Act 1999 9.2 A and B, which says the chairperson and members of the tribunal must be appointed only after the MEC has through the media and by notice in the Gazette invited nominations of persons as candidates for their respective positions on the tribunal, and B, the MEC has consulted with the relevant standing or portfolio committee of the provincial legislature, which is responsible for housing matters in the province. So there is where we come in on the why we have this agenda. Now, I don't want us to just waste time to go through everything that is here. Before I give to the department, I just want to hear from members if there's any clarity to that effect about the Act so that we go straight to the shortlisting and everything that the department have done. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask in particular about the Act, if we're talking about the Act, the 2014 amendment, which allows the department to expand the Rental Housing Tribunal. Why are we still operating under the 1999 Act?
Okay, I'm going to. No, there's.
Chair, the 1999 Act is the principal act. The 2014 is the amendment, the second amendment to that act. It is not in effect. It has been promulgated. It still needs to be signed off by the state president, and then it only comes into effect. National will only send it to the state president once the regulations has been compiled, and they're still in the process of compiling those regulations.
Okay. Thank you very much. Member, you are covered. Okay. No, it's okay. Okay. So on that note, that means I'm going to allow the department to take us to the. Maybe if I can give the guidance of the to the issue of the appointments that MEC have to do, the minister have to do, is for the chairperson and the member and two alternate members. So that means it's four names that has to be brought forward. So we would love to hear. I think we already went through the how did you go about, and let me, before you come in, hear from the members, because other members, they just came in, and welcome. Is there, you went through your files, is there any questions, members, that you want to ask? Okay, Brett.
Thank you, Chair. So I did take the opportunity now to read this file, that, especially since I was the one that was pushing that we get the time. I have a couple of questions. First of all, on page, if you look at the section, recommendations of governance framework, there's like a criteria used in the selection process, and then it talks about the following on page 2 of 6. Following criteria has been identified as additional requirements that members must possess. So I'm just wondering, who decided those criteria? Are they, is it permissible? I mean, the Act sets out what the criteria is, so who decided that there should be extra criteria? That's my question, and then maybe we should answer that before we get into the actual candidates.
Okay, members, is there any other question?
Madam Chair, what we did last year is we referred our recruitment process to legal services. Legal services then drafted a report, a governance framework, and particularly there was one chapter on the recruitment process. If you see on that very same page, there are 3.2 is what the Act says. And then there are additional requirements which we can do, which is generic stuff that we need. For example, if somebody has to have a matric, where do you cut off the qualifications? What we then did is we then took the qualifications and the SACA qualifications, and as you can see on page 3.6, we then did 3 or 6. What we then did is we extrapolated from SACA. What are the essential capabilities that is required? Where do you pitch it? Do you pitch it at the NQ level 7 or 6 or 8? And what we've done is we've studied those things as a generic qualification. We came at the minimum that it is at an NQ level 6 here. Then if you go into 4.2, because it's a meeting, it's basically a meeting. You want persons to come in and have some form of basic meeting skills. So these are generic. It is not essential, but it is additional requirements that can support your application. Your main qualifying criteria will remain 3.2. So to get a benefit, to give you an additional benefit, we added those, but they are not criteria that will disqualify you. So 4.3 is the report writing competency. So every member must be able to draft a report after a hearing. So you want to see if they have that skill to draft a report. And so those are the things that we've...
Thank you very much. Member Herrera?
Chair, I wasn't really worried about the generic requirements on page 3. I was just concerned about how this NQF level 6 in the four areas was determined. But I'll leave it at that for now, I think.
Okay. So can we, members, can we agree that we go through to all those candidates that were shortlisted, and why then?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If we went through to the file, it's six in your file, qualifications shortlist, and then you come across the shortlist for RHD member and two alternate members at the top of that spreadsheet. So if you recall the presentation which we did, we gave you this particular spreadsheet with, switch off. We gave you the spreadsheet with the four candidates that we were proposing. And again, if you remember what we said last week, we dispatched 14 applications to candidates, of which we only received 7 back. Okay. So in this case, these are the top four candidates that we shortlisted for the post of member and 2 alternate members. And if you went from left to right, you'll see we have Mr. Lionel Esterhazen, who is a colored male. His field of experience is legal and property. And then we talk through the prerequisites. If we looked at suitably qualified, in terms of our criteria which we applied, yes, he's suitably qualified. Then we ask for experience in rental housing matters, experience in property management matters, experience in housing development matters, experience in consumer matters. Now, in our presentation last week, we never gave you those scoring criteria, but now you can see it in your spreadsheet. You got 0, 1, 2, and 3. So 0 is do not meet the criteria. 1 is partially meet the criteria. If you met the criteria partially, you would be scored with the 5 points. 2, you meet the criteria, you'd score 10 points. And 3, which means you exceed the criteria, you'll score 15 points. So in this instance, experience in rental housing matters, Mr. Esterhazen scored 15 points, which meant if you went through his CV, very comprehensive CV, you'll find that he exceeds the criteria on that particular item. Experience in property management matters, again using the same scale, he was scored 15 points because he exceeded the criteria. Experience in housing development matters, again he scored 15 points. Experience in consumer matters, again he scored a maximum of 15 points. And when you look at that, it adds up to 60, the total. That then says he scored 100% in terms of meeting the criteria. Yes, ma'am.
Members, as we go through the pages, I would advise that just ask the questions where you see something so that then when we are done with that page, we are done, we go to another section. Okay. Brett?
You invited me now. I think the thing that I'm stuck with throughout the document, and maybe let's get that clarified, is the consumer matters. How you've assessed that these people are have experience in consumer matters, because I see Mr. Esterhazen's been scored 100% or exceeds, but you've based it on the fact that he managed provincial government rental stock, and I don't think that is what the legislation intended when it talked about finding people with expertise in consumer matters. Now, I know that on the Rental Housing Tribunal previously you had Ms. Trudy Brookman, who is a consumer practice lawyer. So she, her experience is in addressing consumer issues. Here you've given someone exceed expectations, and when I read the CV, the justification is managing rental stock. That seems to me to be a landlord. That's not someone who is on the tenant side, which is, I think, what the legislation intended. So my problem is how you've assessed the consumer matters part.
Maybe if I can also ask on this one. I see the number 2-1 in back. Okay, you say on experience in rental housing matters, you scored 15. And then, again, the score for the experience in property management matters, 15. Then you go to experience in housing and development matter, it's 0. And then you go to consumer, 15. I don't understand maybe the question it will be, like Member Heron is asking, what type of the assessment, what type of, is it questions or what is it that you were giving to them to assess them, so that it can make sense to me that this person is dealing with a property, knows that, but you're going to score zero and come into the housing development matters, but knows about the rental and the property management. It sort of is confusing to me that how do you go about scoring when this person knows about housing, knows about property management, but doesn't know about housing development. Maybe if I can ask the Consumer Protection Act, did you make it part of this process when you were doing that, or it was just specific questions that you asked to the candidates?
It wasn't a specific around.
Then how do they arrive at giving points now on the one, for instance, as member Brett Aaron has asked in terms of giving what you call the points, 15, 10, all of those, how do they arrive on that if it wasn't for...
I think that's the question that I asked, that maybe they should give us the guidance of what type of questions did they ask to score them in the points. After they get that, then that we can get the clarity to that effect.
Can we assume that they were interviewed, or was this all a paper exercise?
Sorry, we've never had, since 2000, we've never had interviews in this. It's a system that we inherited.
So the fifth parliamentary, we also had a team that was the names that were given to us. But I think fortunately on that one, if you can go back and look who were the directors, there were some of the candidates that had experience in the consumer, they had in there. So you had a representation of everybody to give their services in the tribunal. Now, what I'm taking from the members, which I agree, is we don't have anyone that specifically has dealt with the consumer, the qualification of the consumer protection. Now, that's where the issue is, that who is going to be the voice on the tenants for the consumer protection to say that this one at least knows the act, has to act on behalf of the tenants. That's the way we are. I think I'm on the same page with the member Heron about that.
Good morning, Chair. Maybe I can to a certain degree agree with the sentiments expressed here, but I think that if one, in a way, sort of specific in terms of categories, then we need to ask ourselves the question, is that which of the categories, what's the weighting of each category? Because as it is now, the weighting is all the same. And perhaps... certain categories will have a lesser weighting than other categories. But then also one needs not to also be mindful of the current members. This is not a completely new tribunal that's been established. The intention of the Act is that there need to be a balance of all of those interests and skills on the tribunal. And maybe with the current candidates, there is that sort of bias or strength. strength in a particular category. While it is important to establish what are the criteria that is being applied to assess a candidate for a particular category, and also be mindful of the full composition of the tribunal, including those that are already there. Thank you.
Okay, Member
Heron.
I just want to be clear that I don't think there's a different weighting. The legislation is clear that the tribunal must comprise of at least one person who is qualified or has experience in consumer matters. So it's not me asking for it. The legislation is clear. There's no one here in this bundle who's got consumer experience or qualifications. I know that Trudy Brookman was on the tribunal before, and she was a consumer lawyer. That was her practice. So if she's no longer on there, and as the chairperson asked, is there a member who's currently qualified in consumer matters on the tribunal, whether it's in this lot or currently?
My question would be, is this most a panel that deals with shortlisting? Am I right? If so, then you see the suspicion in this whole thing. Really, it is on the basis of Lionel's points. He even reached, even though a member, Brett Heron, claims that there is no one in terms of documentation that we have here who have that of consumers. And I think we consumer matters. I think really we need a clarity on this, because it shouldn't be that so and so got a level of favor, racism, if I'm putting that way. I don't want us to even arrive on that. I think really there is a need to explain this 100% of Lionel, whether this 100% was just on the basis of at least on three or two legal matters, yes, and then on the others, other points were just given on the basis that at least he excelled on two or three types of categories, like your experience in rentals and your experience in property. Then all others after that, he was just given points to reach that 100%.
Thank you very much, Member. I think the issue here is this. The page that we are on about the qualification shortlist, the department did the suitability assessment. So on their suitability, they took the points that they felt will be suitable to be on the board. Now, that if they scored Lionel or they scored Maclody Maseko 100% is their take to that candidate. But now, where we come in, the most important thing is that we have to look at their shortlisting, going to the tribunal itself, that the experience that is going to be there in the board, is it going to cater for the needs out there for the landlords and the tenants? That's where we come in. It can be they've got their own criteria that they do there, but if we have to put our mind in it as the standing committee, we have to go to the need of that tribunal board members to say that, do we have all the experience and the skill that is needed for tenant and the landlord. So dissecting, I'm shifting away on dissecting individual members that are here, that we shift from there and concentrate on, do you have all the skills that is needed there? Because I think monthly in the tribunal they get about 500 cases. Now, if you have 500 cases per month at the tribunal, and then you are not balanced about the skills so that your rulings are accordingly, so it becomes sort of an issue. So that's why we say, can we get covered also on the consumer? And if there is someone that is still there who's on the consumer, it will be great for the tenants. And if not anyone has an experience there, that is a discussion we'll have to have as a standing committee.
Chair, the question has been asked and I don't think the officials have responded to it yet, and I'm looking forward to the response. I'm just asking myself, would the senior staff in a big retail store be classified as people with consumer experience or with knowledge of consumers? Or are we only saying that the consumers or consumer activists or consumer lawyers have got the necessary background to be able to understand the position of consumers? And let me try, because my other example might be a little bit controversial. Let's say, for example, somebody in the field of copyright, etc., must have been a writer to know copyright law and all the income that can be derived from copyright, etc. Or could I be somebody that has worked for many years, say, for example, in the copyright office, CIPC, will I also say that that person is also knowledgeable regarding copyright? And I think that is the interpretation that we must eventually give to what the law requires. And I must say, I think the previous representative on the tribunal was an exceptionally well-qualified person, given what Honorable Heron has said. But I'm not sure if there are so many of those people around that we would be able to find a person with the very self-same template, so to say.
Okay. Thank you. Before I give you a chance, Member Heron, I usually say this, you know, sometimes I don't want to use politician, we like to complicate things that don't need to be complicated. We are doing the tribunal and we need a person that can help the tenants out there to represent them, period. Now, the consumer related, let me make an example, members. You get, I think Smith will know, you got an electrician in Citrasdal, has been working for years there. And if there's no head of electrical, he comes in to be the one who's responsible there, but doesn't have the papers to do that in that municipality, and is brilliant, doesn't have the papers to that effect. But he knows about electric, being an electrician. If the power is down, they call him while they're still trying to hire a qualified person with the papers. Now, that person, are you saying that doesn't have the knowledge? Has the knowledge, and you know for a fact that can fix electric in that town. You just have as a municipality to take him to the CETA to write an exam to get a certificate for him to be acknowledged. Now here we need a person who knows about the consumer. Like they said, the N6 who can interpret on the rental tribunal, the act itself, that what is it that is needed. But the basic of knowing, and with the experience, you better have at least the experience that the department have to convince us that we do have Maran worked in that department or did that for so many years, was in the management company for that period of time, something that is a basis of saying you can work on to create that experience. So it cannot be, if there's no one at all, there's no one that can really be representing the consumer. We are running away, and from my side, I'm running away from the point where we are going to get about four people representing landlords and not the tenants at all. So we need to have that balance of saying, how do we get the system to be balanced that we don't get on our doorstep a lot of tenants complaining about the decision that have been taken in the tribunal. And then that, the first step to that is constituting that tribunal correctly. So, Member Heron and after Member.
Thanks, Chair. I think maybe we can go around in circles. I just wanted to respond to Member van der Westhuizen's input. The department themselves introduced qualifications. They said that you must have an NQF6 in the following areas of expertise: consumer matters. So they introduced their own standards and qualifications. So now I'm asking them to demonstrate to me where their where the member is that has an NQF6 qualification or higher in consumer matters. Because the chairperson is right, we cannot have a tribunal that is only representing property developers or people who have experience in development or rental matters. So if there is on the tribunal already, not one of the four new members, mm-hmm. someone who's qualified in consumer, then that checks that box.
Yeah.
We still haven't got the criteria that you used to give Mr. Esterhazen 100, no, exceeds for consumer matters when he doesn't meet this criteria, and it cannot be based on being in the provincial housing department, in my mind. But so that's about what criteria did you use, and the second question is there someone who's got this qualification on the tribunal at present? And then I think we can move forward.
Member Maran, before I give the department.
Also, Chair. Monique.
I'm sorry, Member Maran, then after Member America.
Thank you, Chair. I think that I was going to, latch on to what the initial question that Honourable Heron asked in terms of the criteria to assess Mr. Esterhazen. But additionally, I want to state, Chair, is that and that's important. I think it needs to be responded to. We are appointing people to the tribunal that must possess certain skills as is expected in the Act and criteria that's being established. But once you're a member of the tribunal, you're not a member there to represent a certain interest, sectional interest. Your primary responsibility is to see that the provisions of the Act are complied with in terms of the relationship between landlord and tenant. And that's it, I mean, it is ideal, and we would welcome people who have, the varied skills that one would like them to have, so that they could have a broader understanding about the issues that both tenant and landlords experience. But I don't think that whilst it's important to demonstrate to the committee as to why Mr. Esterhazen exceeded that particular criteria, I don't think that we must move from the premise that once you're a panelist on the tribunal, you represent a particular interest group.
Member Mara?
Chair, morning, thanks, and let me apologize for being delayed. Chair, morning to everyone. Chair, I was also waiting for the response on the matter that Honorable Aaron raised, because we were told now that the person has exceeded the scoring because he was a chairperson of a somewhere. And then the response from Honorable Aaron was, it seems the person was more a landlord than anything else, and not on the side of the consumer. And that was the basis why he has scored. Now, I haven't heard a response from that side where they have said no, but, and it seems that Honorable Aaron is correct in terms of that observation. And I'm not sure, but in the absence of a response, it seems that and then I also want to believe what the other one, Aaron, have said in terms of on which side the person then
affair. You also agree that this was basically like in a paper exercise, whatever was submitted. And on the basis of that, a score was given. That's also my understanding. In the absence of any interviews that have taken place.
Over to you.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and to the members, thank you very much for those responses. Just in terms of what Member Heron has said, I want to refer us back to what the Act says. The criteria which we've introduced is as per the Act. And the Act is very clear, at least one and not more than two shall be persons with expertise in consumer matters. That's not something which we've introduced, that is as per the Act. I think what Member van der Westhuizen has tried to get us to is the Act is not very specific in terms of what then constitutes consumer matters. And that then allows you that flexibility to deal with that. Now, if we take specifically Mr. Esterhazen, I also want to, before we get to Mr. Esterhazen, assure the members, because in my introduction last week, I gave that background to the tribunal and how it functions. It is a completely independent body. The members that currently serve on that institution certainly fulfill the criteria in terms of consumer matters, because you've got Mr. Van Stade, you've got Mr. Duplessis, and you also have Ms. Sibongile Morara on that board at the moment. So certainly when you look at new members that you bring to the table, they must complement each other. And again, I want to say to all the members present, this is not a body that favors any particular segment or section of society. It serves all the members of the Western Cape. It is a free service offered. And as I've referenced before, we've ruled against provincial departments where tenants have complained. And that being Public Works, even our own Human Settlements Department have felt the wrath of the tribunal. You know, if I could just deal with Mr. Esterhazen, as well as what Member Moran and Member Lilly was after. It is a paper exercise, and certainly when you deal with recruitment and selection in any capacity, you can only go on what is presented in the CV to complete your shortlisting process. Now, if you went to Mr. Esterhazen's CV, that is in the bundle, just pass those two. It's number 7, CVs of nominees and applications. Mr. Esterhazen's CV is the first one, and as I explained in last week as well, Mr. Esterhazen applied for the position of chairperson as well as ordinary member as well as alternate member. You see who the nominee was, and also gives you the qualifications. So again, when you think about the spreadsheet you have up, the qualifications which Mr. Esterhazen possesses, on page 3 of his CV, under experience. Now again, think about the criteria which we are applying. It says there, housing and property development. The next one says, rental / consumer management. Now if you read, it says, and I don't want to take the members through it, but it makes a point there. Responsibilities included tenant / consumer management and property. It's on that basis, and when you look at the experience in that particular environment, 2,500 rental units. It's not a small number which is managing in terms of a rental agreement. The vast number, and therefore, when you look at the grid, experience in consumer matters, we've taken it from his CV, and therefore it exceeds the criteria, and that's why we've allocated 15 points. That's how we've come to allocate the 15 points. Likewise, and I can deal with what Member Maseko was raising, the applicant Marion Wannenberg, where she scored 0 experience in housing development, again pertains to what is in Ms. Wannenberg's CV. Because she didn't indicate that she had that, we can't go and give her anything. That's why she gets a 0. It's based on what is contained in the CV.
Mr. Member Hedda?
Sorry, Chair, I really want us to move forward to finalise this, but I don't understand that answer at all. Because what we start off with is an explanation about what the Act requires. Now, my point I made earlier was that if you look at the document that is called Criteria Used in the Selection Process for the Appointment, on page 2 of that document, I asked the question at the beginning of the meeting, the department has introduced additional criteria in order to clarify what it means to be an expert in these areas. And at the bottom of the page it says, the following criteria has been identified as additional requirements that members must possess to execute their duties contemplated in the Rental Housing Act. Qualifications. Any qualification at least on NQF level 6 from the following areas of expertise. Then it lists them. So you are giving Mr. Esterhazen 15 points based on the fact that he was in charge of the provincial government's rental housing stock. And your criteria was that you have to have a qualification NQF 6 in consumer matters. He doesn't have a qualification in consumer matters. You're giving him that 15 points based on what you think is adequate experience. I'm saying that managing rental stock for the province is not the experience that the Act is expecting when it comes to consumer matters. I'm thinking here someone who's managing 2,500 tenants on behalf of the provincial government. He's not acting on behalf of the tenant in consumer matters. He is managing the fact that they must pay their rent, keep the place clean. He's acting as a landlord. It doesn't give him consumer management experience other than managing consumers from a point of power. But you have introduced qualifications which says you must have an NQF 6 in consumer matters. Where is his qualification in NQF at an NQF level 6 in consumer matters? Why did you give him 15 points based on managing 2,500 units as a landlord?
Okay. Any other question?
Madam Chair, if one proceed with the logic advanced by Honourable Heron in terms of NQF 6 for consumer matters, then certainly one would require a particular individual to have a degree in consumer studies, consumer matters, then we need to approach Wendy Nola to become a member of the tribunal, because she is a renowned activist for consumerism. But I think the bottom line is that once you're a member of the tribunal, you are supposed to act independently. And taking nothing away from Honourable Heron in terms of the 15 points out of 54 for Mr. Esterhazen, and perhaps that needs to be moderated. You know, I mean, the absence of clear sort of an unambiguous explanation as to how they arrived at the 15, and I think personally also it's excessive on the basis of the information that is contained in the CV. But we need to move away from the notion to think that the panel members, they act and they are there because of sectorial sort of representation, and they will act in terms of their sectoral interest, and I'm sure they ought to be independent. Thank you.
Chair, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not suggesting that people are there representing sectoral interests. The Act is trying to create a balance between the protection of consumer rights and the protection of landlord rights. And in the absence of someone who has a qualification or has a track record in consumer rights, we're not meeting the requirements of the Act. I don't expect people to go there and say, I'm going to fight for tenants, but they must bring that expertise and that experience. And in the absence of that, this is not a properly constituted panel.
Maybe if I can come in. I tend to believe that this is an addition to another members in the board. And then those other members in the board, they do have their consumer qualifications. my right to say that. So that's number one, that maybe as the standing committee we have to find out how many do have the qualification of the consumer, and then how many do have another qualification that is on their criteria. But the most important thing is this number that is here, these names that are here, is a recommendation. After all this, we are going to sit as the standing committee and say, what do we do from that? Now, we are interrogating that recommendation with what we are seeing in front of us. So we need to keep that in mind, that that is the case. Now, if I can maybe, again, I know that Mr. Adjanse have explained that we do have so many consumers. Maybe if you can repeat again that how many do have the experience in the consumers, those ones that their contract have been expired, and then this is an addition to what you already have. And maybe before you answer, so remember, Aaron, you were raising your hand.
Yeah, I wanted us to try and move forward because we can go around in circles, and I was going to suggest that we move forward with this. But we don't. I don't have the full composition of the Rental Housing Tribunal, so maybe we could see who everybody is now and what their how they meet their qualifications. And if there are gaps, then maybe this committee can make a recommendation to the minister that the gaps be filled.
That's why I was saying that we need to get that information now, so that when we take the decision, we take the decision soberly, so knowing that there is a backup of that. And I tend to believe that the department, if it's here, even though it doesn't have those qualifications of the other members, but we are in here ethically and morally correct, that we can get that information after. They will tell us honestly what is in their books, what they do have within the department to build on.
Chairperson, I'll let Mr. Stewart respond, but I also want to take what Member Heron says as well as your guidance. Members will recall that we have members their term will end in March of 2020. So I take what Member Heron is saying, that if there's a recommendation for us to improve the composition of the members, that we have that opportunity coming up when we advertise for those members in November of this year, 2019. So I also want to take that on board, that whatever this committee gives us, we will also then include, so that when we have the composition, the makeup then, in 2020, we cover all those gaps. But Mr. Stewart can deal with the current composition of the tribunal members which we have at the moment.
Thank you. Chair, just on the matter of the consumer protection, the consumer matters. When we shortlisted the exercise with in the previous round, Ms. Trudy Brookman also never had a qualification per se in that. She had an area of expertise was that. So when we do the shortlisting with what we receive after going out on a recruitment exercise, we sit with a number of applications that we receive. We then apply it in a step-by-step phase. So the first thing is, if you don't have a qualification in consumer expertise.
Sorry, I just want to say first, going back, because you are going to trigger, and I'm trying to yeah, you're going to trigger that side that I don't want to trigger. I want us to move forward. So moving forward, tell us whom do you have, and then we are going to add with what we have in front of us, and then that's the moving forward. The explanation, I do understand. We do understand. We get the picture. Just tell us who's there, that is the contract is going to expire 2020.
Currently, there is no one that has a qualification in consumer matters.
Okay. Who is there?
There is André du Plessis, there is Sibongile Marara, and there is Noel van Stade. Those are the current members.
Okay, the first one that you called, you said is
André du Plessis.
And how long has he been with the tribunal?
All three of them are expiring at the end of March.
Yeah, how long has they been there?
They've two and a half years now.
They were there since 2017.
March 2017.
Yeah. Okay. All of them.
All three of them, yeah.
And then all they do have the qualifications in?
In legal.
Illegal.
And property.
And then any skills of consumers in their CVs?
Skills in?
Experience.
Experience in consumer, but not a qualification.
Yeah, they do have that.
Yes.
You can't think out of your head between themselves how many years of that experience.
No,
you can't.
Okay.
Members, any questions? I think they've answered us. Okay. Member Heron?
No, I think it has answered us. I'm fairly convinced now that there's no one who's qualified in consumer matters that's on the tribunal. So that is something that we're going to have to rectify or ask the minister or the ministry to rectify.
Yeah.
And it's clear. And Trudy Brookman may not have had a qualification. I very much doubt that she doesn't know the Consumer Protection Act, since her whole legal practice is around consumer protection, but she's no longer on this tribunal. So in the November 2019 advert, we're going to have to make sure that people who have qualifications or real experience in consumer matters are the ones that we're targeting.
Okay, and on other hand, I do have the members that will also sample check the cases that are going in there until 2019 to check the tribunal itself, what is happening in the tribunal. Okay. Member Smith?
Chair, just a general question perhaps, ma'am. Is it advisable then for the MEC to make an appointment based on this loopholes? Because according to me, nothing supersedes the Act, which is prescriptive in terms of what should happen and what should not happen. You also do not want a situation where this process might, for one or other reason, be challenged in court, and then there's non-compliance in terms of the Act itself. So my question is, based on the loopholes that is identified by this committee, is it advisable for the MEC then to proceed? Because I hear Member Heron talking about correcting things afterwards. I mean, what does that exactly mean in terms of what the Act prescribes? I just need clarity on that one.
Yeah, I think per se is not anti the Act itself, the decision that is taken of the. What Member Heron is saying, and I agree with him, that we need to try to improve the Act that needs improvement all the time. The 7th Parliament will come and maybe identify something that needs to be added to that. And we have identified now as a standing committee that we need to emphasize also on the consumer side. But now the problem is that if we say now that I have to take the cue also from you members. If we say we are going to postpone further, we do have the tribunal have got the responsibility also of the cases that are there. They need to be that body that is operating there. Now, how do we go about to make sure that, I mean, the 5th Parliament, we took a decision based on the consumer with the experience that we had, some board members that had experience in consumer protection act. They sort of acted, they sort of had the skills, they were not legally qualified on the field per se, but the experience to deal with the issues was there. That is why I put this sentence this statement that means we will have to time and again sample test the cases that are in the tribunal until this is corrected much. Or other than that means what you are saying, it will have to be that we have to so go back and get the consumer. Now, whether that is advisable or not, I don't think it. For now, we have to go to that. We rather maybe discuss it amongst ourselves that what is the way forward to that effect. but it might be different from you. It might be that is the case from Member Heron. I suspect it will be, and from. But it, that is my take. I'm going to allow them to answer on that one. Before, yeah.
Just a follow up before members perhaps respond. No, no, Chair. I need to make this point. We are not all here from the same political party. Some of us are here to interrogate things, and we, if we don't agree, we don't agree. Then there's this thing that you call a majority vote. So it's an easy thing. You can vote on this matter and you can pull this thing through. It's easy. Now, my issue is we don't want a situation where a process is being challenged afterwards because concerns that's been raised in the process of this tribunal appointment has not been processed and adhered to. So the MEC can actually make this appointment anyway without taking any of us into account. Ika. So
thank you.
So that's my concern, Chair.
Okay. Member, I hear you, but before I give to another member, one thing, I think from when we started here, and now I'm going to plead with you to listen to me. I've never put the party politics in front of the standing committee. I've tried as a chair to always be fair. And that is why I'm saying we will debate, we will discuss on saying what is the way forward. So the voting is all in your head, not in mine, and I'm chairing. And definitely the answer here is about the tenants and the landlord. We need answers to make sure that we get the right people in that board. It has nothing to do with what political party am I affiliated to. And if we can get that correct from the standing committees, we can vote wherever that we vote in the by-elections. But in the standing committee, let's try to get things correct for the communities of Western Cape. So please, when you get into the standing committee, think out of the box and leave the party politics so that we get things correct. Now, presumptions, assuming, let's kick it out and say that what is best for the people that we represent here, irrespective of political parties. Okay. Member America, then Member Heron.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. So you have really calmed matters now in terms of your input. But what I'm saying is that we are presented here with a number of candidates that has been evaluated based on criteria that we all perhaps not completely agree with. So we need to decide either we're going to, you know, go along and make the recommendation or whatever we can as within our powers. But I think Honourable Heron has quite clearly stated is that the message that should go out is that we recognize that there may be shortcomings in terms of some of these candidates as far as certain competencies are concerned, and it is something that needs to be seriously addressed forward. The amendments had been promulgated, it has not been signed up, and we never knew sort of should there be expansion or new vacancies should arrive, then that particular criteria must be heavily considered when making that particular appointment.
Thank you very much. I think the Act itself has got that consumer, just for us to enforce that be adhered to. Member Heron?
Thanks, Chair. So we've got, I just want to be clear, we've got three existing members, and is the department going to make, is asking us to make a recommendation to the minister to appoint two, a chairperson and another member, because the Act does provide for alternate members, and do we have alternate members, and if we don't, is there any reason why we don't advertise now for alternate members who have a consumer qualification, so we don't have to wait for these people to retire from their position. We can fill the gap with alternate members immediately.
I was going to suggest that because it's two alternate and the member and the chairperson, that for us to maybe enforce to get the consumer one, then we can say we get two, and then the two alternatives, the ones that we have to say, those have to have their consumer qualification to do that. So that is what I was going to say, we need to take a decision, and what I was going to suggest that we do. Okay. I answered. I don't think there's something that you have to respond to. If that's all from you members, can I allow the department to go so that we can do the resolutions of that? And the department again, thank you very much. And you will hear just from the communication.
Just for clarity purposes, you know, henceforth now, what's going to happen now? I mean, we're transferring the power to the minister to make the appointments. Is that what's happening now?
What's going to happen? We are going to allow the department to move out, and I'm going to give you guidance. What are we going to do? Thank you, Bear. Members, just a breather. Is there a coffee outside? Okay, can you go for a cup of coffee so that we sit down and then we talk? Just for 5 minutes, it's 10 and then let's say 10 past? Okay, 10 past 10, can we meet again? Okay, thanks, members.
He must have.
No, but it's not
but that's what I was saying.
He's the criteria in front of us.
The MEP appoints in consultation. So whatever we decide, the MEC, it's the final say.
We don't dispute that.
That's what I'm saying here. Must the MEC proceed with the appointment with that flaw? That's my question. It's not a committee that appoints.
Look in terms of what they receive in terms of fee, and invite your argument.
No, no, but what is wrong with... Because I'm sure there is someone out there with consumer qualifications.
The people that work there, they don't have the qualifications. Like, I work for the Office of Consumer Protection, but I did not have a qualification.
But the additional recommendations say it's a must. Additionally,
that is indicated, but what the Act indicates and the Act to
proceed. What is the Act saying?
The Act says that...
I agree with you in terms of that. I don't dispute that.
Shall be persons with... It doesn't say now.
What?
The Act says shall be persons with expertise in consumer matters. So the Act to proceed what they say. Even though they are wording is the level.
The wording is a problem.
The wording is a problem. Yeah, it was a public meeting, so she can...
Oh, I thought she was...
Hello, how are you? I love yours.
That's how we shall look like that.